Yeah, welcome in. Welcome back to another episode of the Format Podcast. This is unusual that I'm doing a live episode here on a Wednesday afternoon, but figured I would go ahead and get this one in and see what type of love we get for that. And I got a very special guest joining me today. It's going to be Mel from the Man Down Sports Podcast. So definitely looking forward to getting into some hoops talk with him. But before we do that, you know what time it is.
If you're here on YouTube and you haven't already, please make sure you go ahead, click that like, that subscribe, that notification bell. Make sure you're kept up to date whenever we drop new content on the channel. If you want the audio-only version of the podcast, open up your audio podcast platform, hit the search bar, type in The Format Podcast, and we should come right up. If you're enjoying the content, make sure you give us that like, that five-star review, and drop a comment. All that stuff helps us rise in the algorithm, helps us find more sports fans, helps more sports fans find us. And finally, make sure you write it down, put it in your phone, set an alarm, do whatever you got to do to remember. Saturday nights at 7 p.m., we are live here on the Format Podcast, and we'll give you the opportunity to call in, talk to us, get at me. I love it. I can't wait.
All right. So as I said, Mandow Mel. So with no further ado, let's get it. Mel, what's going on?
What's up?
All right. So, man, well, thanks again for coming on. I'm glad to have you as always. Going to talk some hoops. I know that's your thing. So, let's make it happen. First, we're going to start off with one of the most dangerous, I think, and one of the most exciting teams in the NBA right now. Obviously, we know that the NBA is heading rapidly towards the play-in, which is next Tuesday, I believe.
Yeah, and next week.
Yep. And then following that, the NBA playoffs are going to start in full. So we see. I tell you what, I think the Western Conference is going to be an absolute bloodbath, man. That one is tough. And one of the teams playing the best in the league right now, even though they don't have one of the best overall records, I think 49-30, is the Dallas Mavericks. They look like they're finally figuring out how to get their two superstars playing together. So that's the first one I want to get your thoughts on, Mel, is Luka and Kyrie, and of course their supporting cast. And I think I read somewhere that the defense has stepped up a lot lately in the last month or so. They're still about 20th overall in the league, but in I think total defense, but recently the defense has been playing a lot better. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that, especially those two superstars and how you think they've kind of come to meld their games together and have more success.
Well, so the whole season I've been talking about Luka doing a little bit less so his team can do more, and then also stepping it up on the defensive end. And at times you'll see that happens, and when that happens, they play phenomenal basketball. And Luka, I mean, and I'm not saying do less, like, you know, not be himself. I'm saying, like, if you're going to play point guard and you have an automatic bucket in Kyrie Irving, you can't be doing all the scoring and all the facilitating and then expect Kyrie Irving to figure out how to get 25 to 30 points, right? You have to let Kyrie get unleashed and let him get in his bag, because that's what he's there for. And since Luka is going to be facilitating everything, then you have to primarily do that. And as the point guard, you have to pick your spots when you're going to get your 25 and 30, because that's what a point guard is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So when they at their best, it's two things either going on. Either Kyrie is being 100% himself and Luka is facilitating and picking his spots, or they both just get super hot and it don't matter. And when they're super hot, it don't matter what the balance is. You know, they can go off for 35 a piece,
right?
You know, so that's what it looks like. You know, so it's been good to watch. Luka's defense has actually picked up a little bit, so I think that's making all the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. But also the other thing I look at, I think post All-Star break, Kyrie has picked up his scoring. He was around 24 prior to the All-Star break. Then post All-Star break, he got up to, I think, 26. And then during the month of Ramadan, which if you're not familiar as a viewer or listener, it is a holy month for Muslims. And during that time, they fast and engage in a lot of prayer and study of the Holy Quran, which is the holy book, and don't eat or drink from sunrise to sunset for about a 30-day period. And oddly enough, during this period, Kyrie, all his numbers have spiked. He's up to like 28 points per game. I want to say like 7.5 assists. So he's really taking it to the next level during that period, which is very spiritual and essential to him as a Muslim. And so that in conjunction with Luka doing his thing, because it's odd, you just made the point that maybe Luka could step back a little bit, but at least from the numbers, it doesn't look like he's particularly stepped back. It just looks as if he has, to the point you made, done a better job of really allowing Kyrie to cook and do his thing, and he's kind of figured out how to work within that.
Yeah, so, I mean, and you can go back to any of my videos that I made at the beginning of the year. I always said the numbers that Luka is getting, they're going to come. He's going to get those numbers. Mm. It's just, are you gonna force it and then make your team, play in a phone booth, whatever, not free, but you're free? You're still going to get the same numbers that if you, are you going to, like I said, let Kyrie do his thing and you as the point guard and the facilitator find your spots to get your point. You're still going to get the points. Mm-hmm. He's still going to get 25 to 30 points a game, whether he force it or not force it. Right. So that's why I was saying, I was like, man, he might as well just commit himself to being the point guard and facilitator and let Kyrie be the primary scorer, but he's still going to get his numbers though. So, I mean, numbers ain't gonna change because Luka's the focal point and he got the green light and he can decide if he wants to shoot or pass at any time. So I don't think the numbers ever look different.
Right. Right. So yeah, I'm watching this and I'm like, dang, Luka's still getting his, but okay, we know that Luka is dangerous and we know that Kyrie is dangerous. But before I move on to that, let me say this. I remember a couple of years ago, I first heard the nickname Luka Legend. And I took offense to that because I'm a big Larry Bird fan. He's probably my second or third favorite player of all time. And I've been a Boston Celtics fan since I was a kid. And so my first thing was, well, Luka hasn't done enough to have earned that nickname. But the more I watch him play, and I don't just think it's because he's a white player with skills, just the similarities are kind of eerie. Like, he can really pass the ball, he can somehow get to his spot wherever that is on the floor, and no one has figured out how to stop him from doing that yet, even though he's not, you know, uber athletic or quick or what have you. It's I'm watching and I'm like, there is some resemblance to Bird here. Like, he just finds a way to get shots off and make tough shots and make really good passes, and not the typical modern NBA pass, just drive and kick. Like, he's a really good interior passer. He seems to have really outstanding court vision. And of course, we know that he's an outstanding rebounder. And obviously, you know, rebounding in this day and age is kind of different than, you know, when Bird and them were playing. But I'm watching it, I'm like, man, maybe there is some similarity. Now, that said, he's got to do some winning. He's got to get some hardware. You know, we know Bird had the three straight MVPs, 84 to 87. He had the three straight MVPs. And of course, he's a three-time champ. So Luka's got a long way to go in terms of the winning before he can really kind of cement that comparison. But what do you think of that comparison? Or do you think it's just lazy because, you know, people saw two white guys who were kind of slow who can really play all around?
I think it's both. I think it's lazy. Because probably the baddest white man we've seen in the NBA is Bird, and he won. Mm. You know, so when we see another wing player that, you know, it's kind of like when Harold Miner and Stackhouse and all these guys came in and they immediately got Jordan comparisons just because they was black and athletic and around 6'5 to 6'6 in size and height. You know, they're doing the same thing with Larry, and it's no comparison at all. I don't even think it's close. Now, Luka is very good, but I've retired myself from making those comparisons right. with any player in that era with this era, because what was required of you as a superstar back then was both ends of the floor, defense and offense, toughness and winning before you actually got a name like Larry Legend. Mm-hmm. Right. Now all you got to do is do one thing that Bird does, or get the stat similar to what Bird had without the defense, without the winning, without the resiliency and all of that stuff. That's all you got to do. Just give me one similarity and be white and we'll compare you to Bird, or give me one similarity and be black and we'll compare you to Michael Jordan. It's really bad for people to do that. Now, I will say this. The reason why I don't have a lot of I don't compare this era to anything before this era is because the NBA has admitted that, hey, look, we're all about scoring and we're gonna fix the 2K slider so defense is not that much of a factor,
right,
so we can get more offense. So you can't You can't use stats to compare a player because these stats are inflated on purpose.
Yeah.
And you can't use your eyes to do it because defense is purposely not existing. And you can just come and do whatever you want, get in your bag and do whatever because the defense is at a handicap. So yeah, I don't. And then these guys don't be winning like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't compare Luka to Larry at all.
So I don't say that. I don't compare them in saying that I think he is Larry or close to him, but I do see, like I said, the small similarities, like how he can get to a spot and how he can get those tough shots off and how he's a really good interior passer. And again, different era, different defensive rules and all that. And I totally get that. I'm one of the biggest proponents of that thing that you just said. But the more I watch, I see a little bit. Again, I would never have given him that nickname because that nickname means something. And you got to do a lot more to be able to wear a nickname like that. But moving on from just Luka and Kyrie, who do you think are maybe some X factors for this Dallas team to maybe make a run and be dangerous in the playoffs? Because I think the third leading scorer is Tim Hardaway Jr. at about 14 a game. And, you know, we know he can shoot it and he's got some quickness. But is there an X factor maybe that people aren't accounting for?
Yeah, the new additions after the trade deadline is Gafford and is PJ Washington from Charlotte. They, you know, they've become more of a factor than Tim Hardaway was. And, you know, yeah, he's still probably on paper the third leading scorer. Mm-hmm. But I see what PJ Washington is out there doing. I think he's in the starting lineup and his corner three and his what he does on the defensive end and his hustle and all that stuff. You know, that's going to make him very important. Now, they do go to a small ball lineup where they don't have Lively or Gafford out there. So Gafford is going to be early on very important, or depending on what team they play against, if they got a big, he's going to be important. But they really like that small ball lineup late. So that kind of takes away from, you know, the impact that Gafford could make all game. But when he's on the floor, his offensive rebounding, his presence in the paint, whenever he do get the ball with the ability to score, his shot blocking at the rim, and then you get to run the same offense with Lively or Gafford on the floor. And I think what they was looking at earlier this season, when Lively go out of the game, there was a drop off offensively because they didn't have that size, and then definitely the same thing defensively. So they're big factors. I think Kleber is starting to get 100% healthy, and they really love Kleber as a defensive player.
Yeah,
he's gonna be great. He's not knocking down a three like he used to. He was a real threat, but he's still somebody you got to guard out there, man. So yeah, all their role players are gonna be huge factors, and of course Luka. If he continues to trust the process and say less of me is actually going to be more of the team, then he becomes part of it as well as far as being a factor.
What I'm also trying to figure out is who I think would be the best matchup for them in the playoffs for them to have success, get out of that first round. Because like we said, the Western Conference playoffs, man, they're going to be tough. And I'm trying to think, what's the best matchup? Where can they have the most success? Obviously, we know Denver has that size, and they're the champs, and they know what it takes to win now, so I'm not really concerned about them. What do you think would be the best matchup for them?
The best matchup is any player that's leading a team or any player that the NBA is not actively marketing. So so seriously, the top players that the NBA is marketing is Jokic and Luka. Mm-hmm. So as long as Luka doesn't see Denver, then the NBA won't have to make a decision on who's going to get the favor of the whistle. But if he sees Phoenix, which he won't see them in the first round, but anytime they see Phoenix in the playoffs, advantage Dallas because they have Luka. Mm-hmm. If he sees Minnesota, advantage Dallas because he has Luka. They're going to prefer Luka over Ant-Man. Yep. And OKC might be the worst matchup for them because even though they might favor Luka over SGA, OKC might can overcome that. Sacramento Kings, they're going to favor Luka. And they might have an issue with the Warriors or the Lakers. So Steph, LeBron, Jokic are the ones Dallas don't want to see, because that, you know, it won't be a clear cut, oh, Luka's going to get the favor.
So I don't know if I like the Minnesota matchup for them, because I get your point about Luka being more heavily marketed than Anthony Edwards, but how do you that Minnesota team is still what, number one or number two defensively in the mm-hmm. league. And so it would take a lot. It would take a lot to kind of play around with that. And so the question is, can they can Dallas overcome that?
Yes. With the help of Vegas and the NBA, yes. How you think they overcame Phoenix when they was number one in the West?
Okay.
3-4 years ago.
Was that in the bubble when they went to?
Nah, that was the Scott Foster special against CP3.
Okay, there you go.
That was they gave him, I think, I want to say they gave him game 5 and 6, and it was a Scott Foster special. Because they was up on them. I want to say they was up on them. Was they up on them 3-1 maybe? I don't know. 2-1 or 3-1. And then Scott Foster. Yeah. And then Scott Foster gifted them a couple of games. And then it got to a game 7 and Dallas couldn't miss.
Well, there you go. There you go.
So I'm telling you, man, look, it's some weird stuff. It's just weird. Like last night when Phoenix was playing the Clippers, they came out flat. Everybody missed everything. I looked in the first quarter, KD was 0 for 5. Booker was 0 for 5. Bill was 0 for 5. And it was down by 34 points in the first quarter. You know what went on to happen after that? I think the NBA was like, man, this game is over. Let's at least make it look interesting so we don't lose all the ratings. And Phoenix went on to shoot about 40 free throws to 9 for the Clippers.
So
and they got the game within 9 points in the fourth quarter.
Right. And then also, so I just had somebody text me that I know saying that you're on conspiracy theories. And so what I can say is we can point to multiple times where this stuff has happened. We can point to a couple years ago in the playoffs, 2 years ago, with Golden State and LA, and LA shot like an extraordinarily larger number of free throws in that series. So we know that they got the benefit of the whistle in that situation. I'm not gonna go crazy over it, but we know in the 2016 the league gift wrapped that for LeBron in Cleveland with the BS Draymond suspension. So it's not like we haven't seen this stuff happen before. So I think that's the other part of it.
Yeah, and we just got to admit it. I mean, this is a business, and we can't get mad at how they run their business, just like you can't get mad who Vince McMahon decides to be the champion in the WWE. Is their business? Like, seriously, do we think the commissioner is having all these meetings and sitting down talking about how can we make the basketball more realistic? Or is he sitting down talking about how we going to make this bottom line be more mm-hmm. than it was last year? Right. What are our projections? Oh man, we got this team that brings in this much money, but if we let them play real ball, they're probably not going to make it. Let's help them out a little bit because they bring too much money. Like as a businessman, 30 owners, 32 owners, a commissioner, do you really think that they really care about fairness and realness and reality, or are they caring about the freaking money?
Well, we know they care about the money. I'm not going to go as far as to say they fix the games, but I think
manipulate.
They may do what's in their best interest, and to your point, the best interest of the bottom line, because at the end of the day, you're right, it is a business, and being a great television product is key. And why? Because of the ad revenue and if you get somebody that blows somebody out, then you got to pay make goods and all that. So it's in the best interest to have a compelling 7-game series, but yet to have, you know, who you want to advance. So
correct. And the last thing I say about that, Bruce, last thing I say, because I know we don't want to go off on that, you know, on that walk. Right. But the last thing I say is if we don't acknowledge that is, first of all, very possible mm-hmm. and very probable that they're doing it like that on occasions, mm-hmm. then if we're not able to admit that, then we're thinking that all of those millionaires and billionaires are leaving the entire NBA business up to chance, right? And we know that's not true. Not even reality TV is scripted. You get what I'm saying? Like, you gotta, like, it might be a real fight, but we made y'all come to that ice cream shop to have a meeting knowing that it was going to be a fight. You get what I'm saying? Like, we put y'all there. Y'all, the animosity is real, but we put y'all there because we knew it was going to result in a fight. So you're doing what you can do to make sure you pull the attention or the money that you want to pull. That's absolutely happening. No businessman is paying the commissioner that much money to just sit back and say, well, let them play and whatever they decide happen on the court is what happens. No, they're dictating everything. Hey, call the game this way, this game. Call the game this way. That's why the referees are having meetings before every game, before every series, and they're watching film and saying, oh man, we can call that. They're manipulating everything according to the outcome that they want. And then Vegas is involved. You know, Vegas won't get involved in something that is going to be up to chance because Vegas is supposed to win every single time.
The house always wins.
Yeah. So if Vegas is involved, you already know it's fixed.
Well, the only place I'll push back on that is Vegas involved with the NFL as well. The NFL makes way more money than the NBA does. They're by far the number one most popular sport in the country. And I think it would not be a fair assumption at all to say that the NFL is manipulating results. I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, they're leaving it up to chance then. I mean, because that's the only other option. Either these prominent businessmen are saying, I'm buying this franchise, I'm spending money on this, and we just go leave everything up to chance.
All right.
And you wouldn't even do that with your podcast. You wouldn't say, hey, look, just come up with whatever topic you want to come up with, give it to me, and I just jump on there and talk. And you wouldn't even do that. Like, you're deciding everything according to what the outcome you want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.